Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Matthew Fint. Dr. Fint serves as a lecturer of computer science in the School of Engineering and Computer Science, an expert in artificial intelligence. His research focuses on using data science to create learning games and interactive digital environments for education. Dr. Fint teaches classes in the gaming concentration of the computer science major and was recently awarded a grant to partner with a family health center in Waco to create a dynamic decision support tool for psychiatric care for primary care physicians. And he's with us today here on the program. Dr. Fint, thanks so much for joining us. It's great to have you here.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, when we just described a little of what you do, but it's an area that I think a lot of people don't have a lot of knowledge about or aren't aware of Baylor's involvement about that. So I was curious, when you tell people what you do, what are some of the responses or reactions you get? And I'm also curious if they vary by age.
Well, I think there certainly is a lot of interest since everyone is at least passingly familiar with games. There's an immediate buy-in from younger people since they're more likely to play games, and we can immediately make that connection and share our favorite games. For older people, I emphasize the fact that games are really engaging environments that we can use not just for entertainment, but for education and training as well. Mm-hmm.
And we will discuss that a little further on the program, what that looks like. I'm curious, as a kid, were games something you enjoyed from a young age? Is this a path that you always knew you might take?
Yeah, sure. So my first gaming system was the Atari that my mom gave me, and my dad brought home a DOS computer that we played games on as well.
Okay, yeah, very so. So we might be around the same age then. I remember the Atari and the early Nintendo and some of those type game consoles. But what should people outside of the discipline know about the academic study of video games and how it's growing, you know, here at Baylor and at other institutions around the country?
Sure. Well, they're great test beds for research, especially artificial intelligence. You have these really interesting domains and problems in games, which are challenging for an AI. Of course, the end goal is to move beyond just the game domain and apply the AI to challenging problems in the real world. Like chess, for example, had been the gold standard for AI for some time, you know, before a machine was made to beat human professionals. Now, researchers had recently moved on to a board game called Go, which is vastly more complicated. But in 2016, an AI called AlphaGo beat a high-ranked Korean professional. So, you know, that's now it's a solved problem. And I've heard the term that, you know, AI is just basically problems that are unsolved, and then they just become, you know, standard computer science. So the current AI game challenge is in video games with less discrete moves, like a real-time strategy game called StarCraft and a multiplayer game called Dota.
For people who hear the term AI but are aware of artificial intelligence, but it's maybe a little nebulous, what would you like people to know just to sort of wrap their brains around that more broadly?
Well, it's really just a process for computers to solve problems. And I think the challenge is, you know, you can program a robot to assemble a car in an assembly line, right? But when you move out into the real world, you don't have these constraints that make things standardized. So it's applying AI to, you know, novel situations and task solving in the real world.
Visiting with Dr. Matthew Fenton, let's talk about the work you do with Baylor students in the classroom. Now, one of the more popular things that you do, and I've seen a lot of media attention certainly, is your work with students in classes to create their own video games. What goes into that?
Well, our students usually come into the program with a drive to game development. And, you know, they've played a lot of games, or, you know, some of them have even designed games themselves. So as part of the computer science major, of course, we're interested in the programming aspect. But, you know, it's great because it's a good exercise in the discipline, because games require such a breadth of knowledge in different areas of computer science, like artificial intelligence, obviously, databases for storage, and networking for multiplayer, and software engineering for project development. The list kind of just goes on. But of course, in our program, we also teach good game design fundamentals that are transferable to the development of games of all kinds. So, you know, what makes games fun, how to properly iterate and play test, and the industrial and social side of game development as well.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, you need to have good computer skills, and you talk about those design skills to help it be designed well. But how challenging is it for students? I got to think when you're putting something together, putting a game together, you've got to really have a pretty strong breadth of knowledge about whatever the topic of your game is. Because do you have to cover just about everything in one way or another? I mean, obviously, if it's a sports game, you've got to account for just about every conceivable scenario in, say, a football game or a basketball game. How do you help students think through that process?
Sure. Yeah, great question. So I like to think of games not as like simulations of the real world, but these experience engines. So I always tell the students to have the experience come first and the game implementation mechanics kind of follow that. Mm-hmm. You know, games are just another form of media like film or books or something like that. So I would say, you know, don't replicate football in its actuality in the real world, but, you know, what are the fun aspects of football and use that to drive your mm-hmm. development.
Talk with Dr. Matthew Fenton. Can you tell us just more broadly about the gaming concentration in computer science and how that all fits together? That's certainly a growing area here at Baylor.
Sure. Well, so our concentration is basically a curated set of electives. So we do this over having a major in game development so the students can get the broadest range of training for both gaming and traditional computer science jobs. So the students take four classes with us in gaming and three over at the Film and Digital Media. So they come into us freshman year in Intro to Game Design, and they make games in the Game Maker software. We also talk about the design and industrial side of gaming. And one cool thing that I do in this class is bring the students to the Chillennium Game Jam at A&M. So it's this yearly 48-hour game programming competition where the students make games from scratch over the course of the weekend. And we've been doing this the last 4 years, and they had over 400 people this year, so that was great. The students get to see artists and musicians working alongside the programmers. And actually, for the last couple of years, we've been bringing Baylor music students to join our students' teams. So, you know, that's freshman year. And then they go off and do their core computer science classes. Along the way, they take the film and digital media classes, and they learn about the production side of games. They come back to us junior year for a three-class sequence, which is graphics, frameworks, and the gaming capstone. And in graphics, they learn about the math underlying game software. And in frameworks, they make a game engine from scratch. But the most exciting class, in my opinion, is the gaming capstone. So this is the senior project that they do that's a culmination of their research. So we're partnered with Aaron Thibault, who's an executive producer at Gearbox Software, and that's a video game design studio that makes the Borderlands series. He comes in and advises the students and brings all kinds of great speakers. And last year, the students got to tour the Gearbox campus, which they really enjoyed. So in this class, the students work on a group project, which is one game they make over the course of the semester. And at the end of the semester, they publish this game on Steam, which is the biggest online video game distribution platform. And last year, the students got to collaborate with art and music, film and digital media, entrepreneurship. And it was great getting to work with people from other majors. And, you know, the gaming industry, it's so interdisciplinary that I really value the collaborations the students get to do. So we had this big end-of-the-year demo. About 150 people showed up, including 75 high school students. Baylor students, industry professionals, and the public. We had giveaways with signed art prints and a hand-painted 3D statue of the game protagonist. So it's a great way to show off the gaming program and computer science to the local high school students. And for the seniors themselves, they can come out with a published game that they can show off to recruiters. So, I mean, if anybody's interested in checking out our games, they're available at baylor.edu/gaming.
Baylor.edu/gaming. We'll have to check that out. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, you think about a capstone project. What are some of the challenges that you have to help students work through? You know, I picture some of those students, you know, when they're there late at night in the wee hours, you know, like you do sometimes when you're getting a big project done. What are some of what are some of the moments that are most pivotal in creating that, those moments where maybe sometimes they have to come to you to help, you know, kind of think through something? What does that look like?
Sure. Well, so, again, we're driven by creating the experience in games, and the mechanics come secondary. So I think a lot of it is when the students have to shift maybe an idea that's not working, something that they've grown very attached to because it was part of their initial vision, but they need to kind of maybe move away from or pivot. So it's that big breakthrough that, you know, it's the process and not just one idea that will make it to the end. So I think a lot of playtesting and iteration and just a lot of hard work from the students.
You know, you mentioned that idea of maybe they had an idea that they have to cut for the final project. And I think anyone who's written something or, you know, certainly an FDM produced something, there's that moment, which maybe leads to a question. You know, you talked about film and digital media. You talked about students being around, you know, working with music students and others. We talk about computer science, but there is an art to that a little bit as well. What does that look like, those interactions in FDM or with musicians or other artists, to add that, to see that artistic side of it, you know, fully lived out as much as it can in their projects?
Right. Yeah, well, it's been great getting to work with other majors. For example, last year in the capstone, we got to interface with artists who created assets for our game and title sequences. So, and, you know, they think very differently. So I thought it was very valuable for the artists to learn how the programmers work and vice versa. So just because in industry you're going to be working with people of all kinds of different skills. So we also are now beginning to have regular collaborations with music and entrepreneurship as well. So it's been great having the students understand what goes into other students' work and contribution to the project.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the jobs that either former students have gone into or that your current students aspire to, both right out of college and maybe looking down the line?
Well, our employment rate for our graduates is almost 100%. So they almost all come out with jobs ready to go, or if they're going into higher education, they have graduate student positions. We last year had one of our gaming capstone students graduate and go off to Gearbox, which is great. So, you know, placed directly into the industry. But kind of as I mentioned, since we give them the broad training, a lot of students go into general programming jobs and then maybe end up in the game industry down the line.
We are visiting with Dr. Matthew Fint on Baylor Connections. Fint serves as a lecturer of computer science in the School of Engineering and Computer Science at Baylor. And let's transition now more to your research. And we talk about that interdisciplinary nature, and certainly that's a big part of what you do. But could you give us just a brief overview first of those research interests and how games can be used, as you mentioned, to educate?
Right. Yeah. So games go beyond just entertainment. And, you know, they're such engaging environments that we're exploring them as a supplement to traditional means of education, you know, such as lecturing or reading. And, you know, it's one thing to be reading about some great historical landmark and maybe see a picture, but it's a lot more impactful if you could move around in a digital space and explore it.
So when we talk about learning games and those digital environments, what does that look like for maybe those of us who grew up very much in that transparency and, you know, VCR wheeled into the classroom age?
Right. So VR is a great way of experiencing things. You know, I remember back when I was in North Carolina, we went to Duke and they had this great digital environment where they spent, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to create this 3D space where all six surfaces were screens, basically, and you could interact with it. And obviously that is limiting in how you can offer an experience to the user. But now with the increase in improvement in technology, you can basically get a lot of that capability with a couple $100 VR headset. So it's becoming more and more accessible. And since it's getting out to the public, we want to make sure that we're keeping up with the learning content we can provide.
What are some of the ways that you conduct that research that you're able to glean your findings?
Right. So we've had some great collaborations with the Family Health Center, as I mentioned, and I've got a interdisciplinary collaboration with Baylor and Bangalore Baptist Hospital in India. And what we're trying to do is create apps that provide these interesting engagements through gaming experiences, but also provide educational content as well.
With a Family Health Center, I know you know Dr. Kelly Alitolo works. Mm-hmm. She's conducting research there on health and aging and physical activity. How are they able to utilize those? And what was that development process like of kind of learning their needs and incorporating them?
Absolutely. So I've done a number of collaborations with them in the past, but we have a current partnership that maybe I can talk about. Mm-hmm. So this is a partnership with the Family Health Center, Harvard, Massachusetts General Hospital, their Department of Psychiatry, and myself at Baylor. And what we're trying to do is expand their psychopharmacology decision support tool. And this tool is designed to give guidance to primary care providers for the management of the majority of psychiatric illness. So some guidance does exist in various forms in psychiatric literature, but a lot of it's not transferable to primary care practices, and that's who now treats the vast majority of illness. So we're providing a tool to help in diagnosis and treatment. So my contribution to the project would be to create an app that uses data science and machine learning to provide a dynamic version of this tool to the primary care physician. So we're going to use something called a recommender system. And that allows the tool to be dynamically customized and adapted to the patient based on their past treatment and their similarity to others. So imagine there are various medicines a doctor could prescribe for treatment. What we're going to do is make suggestions based on what's worked in the past for them. And many patients have connected illnesses as well, so that will influence treatment. And for this thing called a recommender system, it works a little bit like what Amazon or Netflix do when they make a product recommendation. So if you and another person like item A and that person also likes item B, then maybe you'll like it as well. Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned, we've got some great collaborators at the Family Health Center. So doctors Ryan Lasherber, Kelly Ulitolo, Lance Kelly, and Matthew Rafowski are collaborating with me on the project. And I'm supervising several undergraduates well. So we hope that this decision support tool will allow for better and more adaptive care for patients.
What does it mean to you to be able to, you know, you think about it, what it's doing is making life easier for busy people. It's making it easier for patients, easier for doctors, more researchers here at Baylor to access and accumulate knowledge. You know, what does that aspect of it mean to you? I think the gaming is the exciting part, and you're helping students do some things long term, but it also goes beyond just your immediate discipline.
Right. So with the current state of the art for the psychiatric care, the doctors basically examine the literature, but we're hoping to streamline that process, right? So that could be the level one, just the streaming line of it with the decision support tool. But now when we get into the patient interaction, right, you know, maybe they need to be prescribed treatment and it's something that you want to provide regular interactions. So how do we entice them for these? Well, engagements through something like gaming.
We are visiting with Dr. Matthew Fint on Baylor Connections. We head into the final few minutes of the program. As you study the effectiveness of digital tools, whether it's more traditional lecture or book learning in schools, whether it's more traditional methods of data collections, what is your research showing you, and does that lead you down other paths?
Absolutely. So we find that There's a lot of increased excitement about gaming and the topic as well. We developed one project where we went into middle schools to teach about Texas Civil War history, and we found that the students were a lot more engaged and interested about learning the subject and wanted to share the tool with others. We also made a tool to talk about the Armstrong Browning Library, which is on Baylor campus, and we compared this to like more traditional means of learning, such as like reading a website or a self-guided tour packet, and we found that those that played the game learned a lot more and were a lot more excited about wanting to come to visit.
So far on the program, we've talked about areas of York. We started off talking mostly about gaming, but we've delved into the arts and FDM, to health matters, to music, to American history,
right.
Armstrong Browning Library. So that kind of paints a wide picture of where your work leads you.
Absolutely, and I think it really goes to show that gaming isn't just sitting in your room playing an entertainment game by yourself, but if you expand what gaming is capable of, you find that it's applicable to a wide variety of domains and is something that there's a lot of interest in and a lot of people are interested in collaborating.
Well, finally, Dr. Fent, as you look into the future and think about Baylor's role in data science research in the video game industry, what challenges or opportunities with that focus are most exciting to you?
Well, I think that data science has a natural overlap with gaming. So data science is roughly the intersection of computer science, statistics, and business. So you will get large amounts of data and use it to draw conclusions. And since gaming is this huge industry, we have access to large amounts of player data. We can use that to learn what the players are doing and how to make their experience better. For me in particular, I want to use this data to increase the effectiveness of learning games. I'm working towards games that are customized to the player and give them the best learning experience possible.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing more about that. You mentioned baylor.edu/gaming. People can see a little more about the program and those capstone projects. And there's also information online. If people want to Google you, Matthew Fent, or Baylor Gaming, there's plenty there to learn more about that. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for joining. It's great to have you on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Matthew Fent, Lecturer of Computer Science in the School of Engineering and Computer Science, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online, baylor.edu/connections. Thanks for joining us here on Baylor Connections.